director of California Walks, a statewide nonprofit advocacy group dedicated to making communities healthier and safer through walking. She is a prominent member of the pedestrian safety community on local, state, and national levels, serving on many advocacy collaborations as well as statewide and national committees, including the Six Wins for Social Equity Network, State Highway Safety Plan, Pedestrian and Safety Committee, and the Caltrans Active Transportation Livable Communities Advisory Group. So we'll let Wendy come up, and after she's finished, you all can ask her a few questions, and then we'll move on to the next speaker. So please help me welcome Wendy.
We lost our only Canadian.
Well, on that line, I have no relationship. So, as you've already heard, California Walks is a statewide voice for pedestrian safety and healthy, walkable communities for all people of all ages and abilities. So, we have 28 local walk groups, or groups that walking is part of their mission and growing. Of course, California is a very large, spread-out state. The Community Pedestrian Safety Program we do in partnership with UC Berkeley's Safe Transportation Research and Education Center. They get the grant that funds this program from the California Office of Traffic Safety, which is the branch that administers the NHTSA program. The money comes from something called Section 402, which is something that will fund education. So if you're interested in doing this kind of work at the local level or in some kind of education framework, finding somebody you can partner with who can get the ear of them is a good way to go. So the goals of CPST are to educate diverse stakeholders, preferably both residents and agencies together, on best practices to empower communities to develop action plans and convene around a broad safety and walkability needs assessment and collaborate to sustain action over the long term. We only have funding to do a four-hour workshop, a one time in a place, and provide some follow-up and technical assistance. But what we do to try to embed this sustainability and action element is to have a planning committee to plan the workshop to meet the specific local needs that the people who are already engaged in this effort have identified. So we don't do a cookie cutter same approach everywhere, but pull from all 10 E's as to what people is need most and identify both the community and the location that's most. So these are we're now in finished 6 years of this program, and by moving the workshops around the state is one of the ways you keep OTS interested. We use data-driven evaluation, so our initial criteria are crash rates, because that's one of the things OTS is interested in, is something we're interested in. Community readiness, that we can make contact or already know. So a lot of times we're able to provide support to our local groups and their efforts. And a need. So we don't go to a rich community that can afford to bring somebody in. And our pedestrian fatalities and severe injuries are not there unless they're high tourist or high student areas, but our fatalities and severe injuries are in poor communities where there's been 50 years of disinvestment and more people have to walk, both. So we use all six E's, and actually, you know, there's 10 that we work from, but we find the most common are empowerment and equity, evaluation, engineering, education, enforcement, and encouragement. And although we touch on these in every workshop, we focus on the ones that the community is currently focused on or has a need for. So for instance, one of our communities a couple years ago, they'd had some engineering success, they'd had some action planning and safety assessment, and so what they really wanted to do was work on an education program. I was so surprised at the Walk Summit last week, they had 3 years later hired a consultant and completed devising and implementing an education program. We didn't even know about it. So we always include a walkability assessment, a facilitated group discussion in small groups by the people who are attending, and have them come up with a 3 to 5 action steps, short term and maybe feeding into something long term. And then we prepare a report with some recommendations. And this is helpful to them if they have something they're trying to move forward that requires funding or requires some policy decisions. And we work on the state level on the health and all policies and all the active transportation work. And so we find that the local needs inform that work, and the progress and the need informs what we need to work on at the state level. And then also the opportunities at the state level that we are in process or just had success with changing, we can let people know about and help them take advantage of those. And so it's really that synergy back and forth has been really important. So the outcomes have included infrastructure improvements, education and enforcement, community-based programming, coalition building and policy change, and expanded outreach and coverage. And just here, this one, it's just a project in Berkeley. You can see a resident talking for his group. The police participated and other planners. Long Beach, it was a senior-oriented program in the same. And the third one is Youth, Future Farmers of America, which was a little different group than some, participated in our workshop. And we also had community mentors from a nearby town, Greenfield, in South Kern County, who came and shared their experience. So that's another element we bring in whenever possible. So 100% of the places were interested in additional training. So Crenshaw, this is a the guy who's writing here is a member of the Crenshaw Cougars football team. I was so surprised when he said the football team was going to be coming, and I thought it was some like leadership exchange, and they were there kind of as like home assignment. But it turned out that the intersection that everybody was most focused on, two members of their team had tried to get across to catch the bus so they didn't have to wait 20 minutes and deal with the gang on the corner. And one had been killed and one had been seriously injured 2 years before. And so they were, unbeknownst to us when we started this, extremely motivated, and they continued after that to participate and carry that message, and eventually were successful in getting that signal light installed. The middle one is a rural community. Actually, I happened to graduate from high school here, Fillmore in Ventura County. And as you can see, it's a typical rural, no sidewalks area. And then they also started to develop along the state highway and have a place that used to be totally safe to walk. Is now very dangerous because all of the shopping facilities are on two sides of a state highway. You know, we're at 60 miles an hour just at the town limit slightly down the road. So the last is Glendale. We've actually been to twice. They were one of our very first programs, and they asked us back several years later. And they just, out of that work, got funding for an active transportation plan, which helps you embed all of the things we're hearing about today in terms of active living, active transport, and health and all policies, and what kinds of safe routes to school and other. And they had a very high Armenian population. So we also had to, that was one of our experiences in not one of California's most common languages, that we also had to make sure to be culturally competent and have materials in Armenian and have Armenian community groups who could work. And they were the seniors in that community were disproportionately drivers and pedestrians who are getting seriously hurt or killed. And 92% said they had more enthusiasm and support. And a lot of that is, they think working with a group, you have some community identification among people who have shared a similar interest and can support each other instead of get totally, because we all know this work is discouraging, you know. And so this is just some pictures. The middle one is youth. We do several youth-oriented workshops, and whenever we do youth-oriented workshops, we bring youth to lead those workshops, and that further empowers the other youth to participate. And then there's the other two are examples of walk audits going on. And so then this is a list you can't read of the variety of things that have happened. We three years ago, out of the fallout of federal Safe Routes to School money going away and the new Transportation Alternatives Program, after we overcame the efforts to do away with active transportation, essentially out of that, we had a victory, and we have something called the Active Transportation Program, and it's a statewide grant. And so this is one of the things that we take to people, and this is a case study of somebody, Butte County Public Health. We contacted them because we knew a woman who had worked statewide at the state public health department, and now was working actually at Chico State University. But she knew the people in the county department of public health. We started out finding out if they were interested. They kind of guided us among the various there were four communities we could have picked within the county. They were the most ready because they'd recently had a child fatality going to or from school. And it turned out they had a new traffic engineer. So this is a town people go through on the way to other mountain recreation. And there's also a lot of retirees and then a lot of long-term residents that this has always been their home. So this is the conditions on the streets before our workshop, which is basically, you know, they were your standard arterial or state highway thoroughfares. Some of them had sidewalks not in too good repair. They had not enough crossings. But as you can see, they had had a beacon. They did have part of a trail network. And this is the town manager. It ended up that people from the city council and the mayor came. We had residents, and we had the staff who would write grant applications. And we worked in a downtown area, so you had the business interest, if not totally involved, at least not opposed at that point in time. And then we had people from with disabilities also participating in it. So that added a really great element to the critical need for safety that they were able to articulate. So this is the first grant they got from the state program. They had no money to make improvements locally. So they wrote a grant, and they got it because they're a rural community, so they got it in the rural, this one in the rural, 10% of the federal funds. And they're poor. They had the fatality statistics, and they had the community engagement and participation, which public health has pioneered. And they used our report. They used the workshop as evidence of that, and they used the report because they didn't really have a plan yet, but they could see that there had been a community prioritizations. And so they got us also a second project. So they got two Safe Roads to School projects in our first cycle, and they were recommended for four in our second cycle. No other community in California got four grants, even Los Angeles, which, you know, is millions of people. And so they also got money through the Highway Safety Improvement Program, and the Rotary Club and PG&E donated some amenities for the street. They adopted a daylighting policy. This started at our workshop. People really got how there was a woman standing between two cars at the downtown crosswalk, and it was the photographs were taken from the driver and the passenger, and you could not see her in time to stop if she had stepped out. And then they've got a, they got a new sidewalk installation policy. So making this rapid of changes is a little easier in a small town if everybody gets on board. Having grown up in a small town, it also can be the hardest place to get change. So, so these are really our lessons learned, that you want to have diverse stakeholders if you can from the outset. Because then they have the people in the room to really hear each other and understand each other's, thank you, limitations. Like either people in the community don't know that there's somebody who can help them about A, B, or C, or they don't understand the difference between what it takes to get a traffic signal and a stop sign or a crosswalk painted, and that you want to start with those low-cost, easier to implement solutions on the infrastructure side so that people have some encouragement that they're making a difference. And also that they hear that partnering with the agency, so the agency's always supportive in doing this work, makes a big difference. You know, and when the policyholders find out you're not out to get them, you're out to support them and provide them cover. And yes, you're nudging them along, but in public, you don't make them the enemy. As an advocacy group, sometimes it's necessary for us to really fight somebody, but we try to do that more in the back room and so that there's open and meaningful dialogue between both the community members and the government representatives, the community engagement following through to implementation. And so over $3 million was recommended from two of our workshops last year, and we continue to engage diverse communities across the state. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Probably we're going to do questions at the end, right?
No, let's do a couple now.
Okay.
Let's do a couple now. Anyone have any questions for Wendy? If I could start out.
Yeah.
And I know that there's some foundations, very large foundations in California that are interested in the built environment.
Right.
Have you been successful in engaging some foundations in this work?
I think that for advocacy organizations, one of the things that's difficult is a larger foundation to do a larger grant, want to have a larger institutional budget, so that when you're building your organization, it's kind of hard to get to that large enough to interest them, but large enough, small enough, you know, so that they would trust you. So we do have funding from the California Endowment, which is one of those foundations, and we're part of their policy-making advocacy initiative at the state level, and then they have had us working in certain designated communities around California, originally with two of our partners in Walk Sacramento and Walk San Diego, and then in Kern County with the Greenfield Walking Group. And the Walking Group is homegrown. Came out of a obesity physical activity initiative, and they originally worked in transforming parks to have walking paths because they can't walk across the street. And then this work helps feed that work, I would say is the best way to, but we haven't ever been successful like to get them to fund statewide projects or to fund all the a project in the local groups we work with. Some other organizations are big enough to do that. Yeah.
I'm curious to know sort of after the workshop happens, how you're involved and how you get all these results just from those 4 hours.
Right. One, we have made contact and relationships with the engaged community members or the professionals, and so we follow up with them every so often and ask them to let us know how it's going. And we track if there's any mention of them in the media. We kind of track the different grant sources, Office of Traffic Safety and this Active Transportation Program being the main ones. And But the most important is that there's some community effort that's underway, either that it's an organizational effort that's supporting this work or a not yet organization but a dedicated community group or person. And since we offer the report and let them know if they were interested in funding, for instance, follow up with us. We will write you a support letter. We'll give you some tips. So we provide some that kind of a little follow up. But I think the key is the planning effort, that we make it clear from the start that we're not doing this, that they are doing this, and we're there to provide them. We don't really call it technical assistance because that's kind of dull sounding, you know. Just like pedestrian, but you know, to encourage that they have the power to do this, and these are the kind of things that it takes to actually make change happen.
I noticed you work with a lot of community groups. Do you work with Safe Kids Coalition?
Yes, in some areas, and that's a great partner. And a lot of, for instance, Walk Sacramento's done a number. They've done several Safe Routes to School grants with their local organization, San Joaquin County also. So that's, again, as being a statewide organization, they kind of have a statewide organization in California, but they mostly have local efforts. And so the local efforts kind of have to get together. But yes, they're a partner. And I think work that public health has done in creating networks and partnerships and around the state is also helpful, because whenever you can tap into that, they know some people that we might not know of.
So do I understand correctly that
extra
transportation program is a state fund that replaces routes to schools and TIF?
Yes and no. So it replaced the T program and our state Safe Routes to School program, and took the money, including the federal Safe Routes to School and T money that was rolled into the TAP, the Transportation Alternatives Program. And they added a few other existing funds, or the part of some other existing funds that were used for active transportation together. We were lucky that we had a state Safe Routes to School program that preceded the federal, and that was about $25 million a year. And we were able to keep them funding that, which came out of, I believe, their SHOP program. So they put several things together thinking they were going to fund like five big projects and only need one staff member. And instead they have 150 projects and need more staff. So we had a really good result, but we had a really strong coalition that worked together that included public health, the advocates, the equity groups, and environmental groups, because they're basically a bunch of people's money was attacked, and so we formed coalitions with them, so we supported them keeping the part that they used for something other than active transportation, and they agreed that their piece. So one of them was an environmental mitigation fund that the state had to contribute to for their road projects. So
to make sure we have enough.
Sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. So if we have more questions and time at the end, please, we can stick around and talk to you.
Thank you all very much.
Okay, I have more questions where you're required to stand up. All righty. I was serious about staying awake and engaged, and having the number of questions is an indicator that things were successful. Okay, the first question is, how many of you know the definition of level of service? Stand up.
The definition, not the formula.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I'm not asking anyone, so you could, if you wanted to fake it, you can stand up. Okay. Next question is, how many of you are familiar with the theory of induced demand with respect to traffic? Induced demand.
They say it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I know. We know that's
really?
Wrong. Oh, yeah.
No one said it.
the people who aren't here today, that they say that. That's what I totally agree with you, Wendy. So how many of you, if you were in a room with other public health professionals, felt like you could really lead a discussion on transportation, transit, walking, pedestrian, and feel fairly confident in yourself? Feel free to stand up. Great. Oh, so some new folks and some experienced folks. That's really wonderful. And last but not least, who of you have just started thinking about transportation with respect to health, and this is sort of one of your first introductory sessions on the subject? Please stand up. All right.